Well, Peace Sunday, or Remembrance Day, or Remembrance Sunday, is a day to remember and reflect on the sacrifice of the men and women who have served and sacrificed and paid the ultimate sacrifice during times of conflict, particularly in World War I and II, that have afforded us our freedom today. As Christ followers in the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition, while November 11th is specifically focused on their memories in pursuit of peace, our call is to be agents of reconciliation in all relationships, to practice love of enemies as taught by Christ, to be peacemakers in all situations. We view violence in its many forms, different forms, as contradictory to the new nature of the Christian. We believe that the evil and inhumane nature of violence is contrary to the gospel of love and peace. We're called to alleviate suffering, reduce strife, and promote justice, which are ways of demonstrating Christ's love. And this comes from our Confession of Faith in Article 13. I think we can all agree that peace seems to be in short supply these days, with continuing conflict in Ukraine, Sudan, and now the uneasy ceasefire in Gaza. It seems that Jesus' prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 to 7, are coming true in our time. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. You know, every generation believes they are living in the end times, and certainly those who lived through the world wars. However, these verses spoken by Christ are not to instill fear, but a reminder to Christ followers today to remain alert for the return, the return of Christ. Violence and conflict will continue to exist, but our hope of peace lies not in men's efforts, but in Jesus. So what are we to do as those of us who continue to live on this earth in this place of violence and conflict? Well, in Christ, and by accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, we have no need to fear our past, our present, or our future. We are secure in Him as He is with us, that Jesus is our certain hope and peace. As He said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I live with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And certainly we can have this assurance, and certainly we can have confidence in these words, because we're assured, as we are accustomed to hearing of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the gentle shepherd, the one who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And yet, in our sermon text today, which was wonderfully read, Jesus also declares, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." What does this mean? It sounds like Jesus is contradicting himself. On one hand, he is advocating peace, but the other, he is bringing a sword, the symbol of violence and conflict. Well, in a month, and it's hard to believe that in a month, or actually less than a month, we'll be in the Advent season, a season when we remember and we celebrate the coming of Christ who came in the flesh, and also to look forward to his second coming. But at the time that he was born, the angels sang at his birth, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And when we think about this, They weren't really promising a political peace, nor a life free from conflict. They were, in essence, proclaiming the reconciliation between God and humanity. It comes through the newborn King. See, the peace of Christ, the peace that Christ offers, is not the peace of avoidance. And this is why we call him Emmanuel, that he is God with us. God did not leave us to our sin. And when we talk about the peace that he offers, as I said, it's not a peace of avoidance. It's a peace of transformation. This peace does not come by ignoring sin, but by confronting it. It does not come by pleasing everyone, but by pleasing the Father. See, the world offers peace through compromise. In essence, what we're really trying to do is to be peacekeepers. And we want to keep the peace. And so we say to one another, you keep your truth, and I'll keep mine. But Jesus, the peace that Jesus offers is true spiritual truth found in him. And this truth has a cutting edge. When Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but a sword, he wasn't calling his followers to arms. We know that in the passage, in later passages, especially in the Garden of Olives, that when Christ was about to be arrested, and Peter took out his sword and sliced off one of the soldiers' ears, what did Jesus say? That's right. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. So he really is not really promoting this idea of a call to arms. But rather, the sword is spiritual, not physical. It is the sharp edge of God's word that pierces hearts and divides loyalties. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 declares, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so then, when Christ enters our lives, neutrality is no longer possible. That when we see violence and when we see suffering, the gospel demands a decision, and every decision for Christ will inevitably bring division from the world. And that's what he's talking about here, that even within families, the truth of Jesus does create friction. And I'm sure, like some of you, just as it is in my own family, that when I became a follower of Jesus, it did cause friction. And it's not because we're seeking conflict, nor is Christ advocating that believers will seek conflict, but because light and darkness cannot share the same space. Where Christ reigns, compromise must die. We cannot just let it be. We cannot be in neutral spaces. We have to make a choice for peace or violence. Our Lord prepares his followers for this reality. He says later in this passage, whoever loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I'm sure we're all saying, wow, that is a hard saying. And definitely in this culture, in the Jewish culture, mothers and fathers are honored and loved and to be cared for. What? To follow Jesus means I have to reject my mom and my dad? No, that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He does not ask us to love our families less. He calls us to love him more. For only by loving Christ first can we love others rightly. Moreover, the sword that divides also purifies. It cuts away the idols in our hearts until only Christ remains. And in that surrender, we find true freedom. So I have a question for us this morning. When we think about the sword, And the sword is basically like a blade. Can you think of a blade that we have in our world today, in our medical system, that also heals? Thank you. Yes, the blade that also heals is the scalpel. It is the surgeon's scalpel that cuts to save. And so in the same way, the sword here of Christ's truth cuts to redeem. He divides us from sin to unite us with himself. He separates from us false peace so that we might know true peace. The sword of Christ is not meant to destroy. It does not come to wound, but to restore what sin has corrupted. If we desire peace in our society, in our neighborhoods, in our families, peace needs to begin with us. Peace needs to happen in our life. And that peace comes through Christ, who will do his healing work in us so that we may be true peacemakers in our society. The sword may divide us now, but the crown awaits those who endure. The day is coming when the same Savior who brought the sword will bring everlasting peace, a peace founded on righteousness, truth, and glory. Brothers and sisters, the call of Christ is not a call to apathy or anxiety. And if following him brings conflict, let us remember the sword is not your enemy. It is the mark of your belonging to him. And so we know now, we recognize that the sword, in our context, is the word of God, which is the Bible. And so let the sword of truth shape you. Let the sword of truth, of conviction, cleanse you. And let the sword of Christ remind you that peace without truth is not peace at all. And beyond the sword, there is a crown. And beyond the conflict, there is communion. And beyond the division, there is an eternal peace in the presence of the Prince of Peace himself. As I conclude this message, I wish to read portions of the call to action and prayer prepared by the Mennonite World Conference that convicts us that peacemaking is not in action, but action that actually costs us. And this is the call to action in prayer. And just for your reference, this was actually held in September. It was on September 21st when the Mennonite World Conference had this International Day of Peace. We recognize that many within our faith family, some across the street, some in different parts of the world, experience the realities of war, violence, and oppression. We come from countries that are broken because of ongoing war. We also continue to do the hard work to overcome the pain and brokenness that such violence and brokenness causes. As we reflect on our common faith in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we know that war and preparation for war will not bring peace. Causing others to die from famine will not bring peace. Bombing others will not bring peace. Killing will not bring about peace. Taking economic advantage of others will not bring about peace. Building walls will not bring about peace. Responding to violence with violence causes us to become that with which we do not want to become. We want to witness to life, not death. We want to heal wounds, not inflict more wounds. We want to build relationships and reconcile those that are broken, not entrench divides and separation between one another, including those with whom we may differ. We want peace, not further violence and war. As we see those who are different from us, those across a cultural, national, or ideological barrier. To them, we have the courage to love, to refuse to see enemies, but rather beloved children of God and potential friends. We call on those in places of political authority to open your hearts and minds and imaginations to practice creativity, not rigidity and stubbornness, to overcome difference through dialogue instead of domination and division. We invite you to free yourself and others from the imprisonment that such separation creates. We call on ourselves and all of our siblings to recognize how nationalistic ideology and separation fails to bring safety and security. Safety and security only comes about when relationships with our neighbors and our global siblings are fostered. We therefore call on all our siblings, their way of saying brothers and sisters in Christ, around the world to show hospitality to others so that life may be extended and received by both the one receiving and by the one extending hospitality. Hospitality is a life-giving posture. And it certainly speaks to our heart here at Killarney Park, as one of our core values is shalom across generations. And shalom is not just peace, it's about wholeness. So let us work and dedicate ourselves to the peace that is only possible when we pursue and embrace each other, so that justice and peace may kiss, and thereby challenging the root causes that causes conflict in the first place. This is Jesus' life-giving peace. It is Christ's peace. Will you join me as I close? Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking the hard truth in love. Give us courage to stand firm for when your truth brings division. Teach us to love you above all else and to follow you even when the sword cuts deep. May your word purify our hearts and your peace rule in our lives until that day when the sword is sheathed and we see you face to face. In your holy name we pray. Amen.